Welcome to the Grow Your Business podcast. Listen in as we discuss all things business, growth, and marketing with business owners, thought leaders, and entrepreneurs. And now, here's your host, founder of Roundhouse, the creative agency, Saul Edmonds.
Oh, well, hello, everybody. This is the Grow Your Business podcast. And today I am speaking with the guy that I know called Andrew. Andrew Komnenos. Andrew, how are you going?
Gee, fucking great introduction, Saul. Love that one. It was fantastic. I mean, I don't think I've ever been introduced quite as well as that. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Wow, thanks so much. I'll take that as a compliment.
If only they could see my face.
Hey, listen, I try to change it up a bit on the podcast, so don't hold it against me, all right?
For all your podcast listeners, all they need to know that if they hear slurping, it's because it's cold and I'm drinking a chai latte that I, which is just to keep my hands warm.
Which is just a warm drink after your main drink of the day, which is a double piccolo.
Can I point out, though, that like how weak I must be that I'm like, it's cold in Brisbane. We're in Brisbane. Brisbane. Mm. Brisbane's not cold. There are colder places around the world by a long way.
Is this your?
I'm cold.
Is this your attempt at being modest? Because most of the time you're a hardcore adventure guy.
It's actually funny you mentioned that. You were saying that as a joke, but it's funny you mentioned. I was talking to someone about this the other day. Actually, it's funny how very often people don't see me as, you know, modest, or you might come across as arrogant, or might come across as, you know, oh, he's too confident, or he's cocky, or whatever. I think that's a symptom of being confident or believing in yourself. And then, you know, when I say something that is, say, not, you know, is modest, people are like, oh, look at you being modest. And I'm like, I feel like I'm actually quite modest. Like, I don't believe that I'm capable of doing things that I know I'm not capable of. Like, I'm pretty sure, like.
No, that's right. Know. I mean, that was actually for everybody listening, especially those that know Andrew, don't think that actually wasn't a joke. Cause it's funny you should say that, cause I've actually kind of never viewed you in that way you were talking about. I always view it as enthusiasm. Like, that's how I see it.
I'm way too enthusiastic. That is 100% true. That is definitely the truth.
It's fun. See, that's the thing is that it's actually fun to be around for a range of reasons. But I mean, you know, over confidence, there is like a bit of a slippery slope, I guess, for some people, isn't there? Like where that actually becomes.
Well, I think that's why I mentioned it, because I did bring it up the other day with a friend. We were just having a good conversation about it. And this whole idea of how we tell people in society to believe in themselves, right? Believe in yourself, believe in yourself, believe in yourself. But as soon as someone believes in themselves, they get this really small gap in which they're allowed to believe in themselves. And then all of a sudden it's like, nah, too much. It's too much.
How dare you believe in yourself too much? Is that more in Australia too, you reckon? Like, I think it is evidence to say otherwise, but I feel like that's some of that's a bit of a, I was like, mate, like, you know, you're full of yourself, mate. You know, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Mate?
I don't know if that's,
it's like a little bit of that.
I think Aussies say it's in Australia because they have a name for it and they call it tall poppy syndrome, right? But I think the reality is it's everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
I
mean, you're probably right.
If you go to any country ever, it's typically people placing their own limitations and projecting them onto other people, right? So if they see someone who – a really good example actually is when I started my first business ever many, 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 many moons ago, all those moons ago because I'm so old now, you know, me and my 35 years. But when I started my business, my first business, the sales coaching business years ago, I had a bunch of people talk behind my back, you know, and I heard about saying, oh, he's going to fail, or what does he know about coaching businesses? You know, he's not this, because I went out as a sales consultant, a sales coach, you know, to help businesses to implement strategies and processes for sales in their business. Mm. And, you know, I had people behind, you know, a lot of my friends saying, oh, you're going to fail, and, you know, this isn't going to work. And they were saying it behind your back, and then they just wouldn't say anything about the business to your face, right? And then I had very few, I think I had like two total people who actually believed in me from the start. Two. One was my partner at the time, and the other one, right, and I think she believed in me because she was like, I kind of have to believe in him because otherwise we're going to be broke. And the other one was a really good friend of mine who now lives in Blackwater. And he just always believed in me from the very beginning. Like, he was like, this guy's going to make it. This guy's a machine. And he's awesome. But I even remember going home to my dad and I said, I'm going to start a business. And I'm starting this business and this is happening. And his response was, make sure you have a plan B, because it's probably going to fail. But what kind of response is that? Right. But I was confident, right? I had self-belief. Yeah. I was like, no, I can make this happen. I'm going to make this happen. Anyway, I remember getting about 6 months into something, and I grew that business pretty quickly. I focused on selling and my sales process. And if you focus on the right things, you tend to grow. And I remember getting to a point where I could buy a car through the business. And it wasn't an outrageous car. It was a Mazda 3 or something. And the business paid for this car in cash, right? Mm. And I had a bunch of people say, when I got the new car, they're like, oh, where did you get the new car? I'm like, oh, the business paid for it. And they're like, how? I'm like, well, because the business earned money and then the business paid for it. And they were just flabbergasted. And from there, right, everyone was like, wow, Andrew can do it. Yeah, look at you. You can do it. Yeah, of course you can even freaking do it now that it's working. You know what I mean? Like, but it's that idea of.
Yeah, there's the element of having to believe, and then, but like it's easy, I guess, in one respect, it's easy for, you know, people who are already believing in something, and then you kind of have to, because, you know, it's what you've signed up for, that you want to believe it, and then you have to. But it is like, I can imagine that most of the time, most people, unless they have a really good reason, like, I'm kind of on the fence about whether it's just purely skepticism or negativity, or it's also this element of then, like, you know, how would they know that it's going to work out? Because, like, they're not in your head, they're not in your world.
Well, they don't know. They don't
That's
know.
Right.
So the idea is that there's one thing to be skeptical. So I don't know if it is skepticism. Mm. I think there's two issues. I think it's when someone believes that they're not capable of doing something, and yet they believe that maybe in some way that they have more knowledge or ability than you do.
Mm.
And then you do something that they don't believe they're capable of, or you go to do something like, well, he can't do it. If I can't do it, then he can't do it. And I think the other one is just that other people just project their limitations. But there's another factor. There's this whole idea of people, when you start to move to another level, and this is something that is a massive issue, and this is why it's so important to have the right community around you. People will do everything they can to keep you on their level. And think of it this way. How many friends have you had, and this is from both directions, how many friends have you had that have not exceeded expectations, but like you've moved on from because they've decided to stay in the same space their entire life, cause the same drama, deal with the same stuff in this low vibration state. And you're like, well, my life, this doesn't serve my life, right? Mm. I have to keep going. I have to move on, right? And when you're around them, you feel yourself getting dragged down. And then the same is true of the other direction, right? So when you start to move into a higher space, your friends because they don't believe in you sometimes, but just because they love you and they're trying to protect you. They're trying to be like, oh, be careful. Don't take those risks. Don't do those things. And it's out of space of love. Two reasons. They don't want to lose you and they don't want to get left behind.
Mm.
And so if they don't believe they can match, then they'll try and bring you back into this state of equilibrium in the friendship or state of equilibrium in the group. And so that's actually why it's so important to have a group of people around you that are limitless. And what I mean by limitless, I don't mean they have to be the richest. They don't have to be the best. Mm. You know, the more people you spend time with at a higher level, the higher your level will go. I mean, that's just the reality because you meet who you're around. Mm. However, if you are putting yourself with friends that are inherently limitless, they don't believe that they have limitations. And so they know that they can do anything or are just super supportive. Like, you know what? You can do anything. I might be afraid of doing it, but if you can do it, go nuts. Let's go. I will help you.
But
you know, they're the friends, I guess. They're the people you want to be around. There's those people that make you better, want you to be better, want to grow with you. And it's about rather than keeping the status quo and staying in equilibrium, they're like, no, let's go to the next level together.
Where does that actually meet creative thinking? Because for me, when you're saying that, that sounds exactly like because I'm sort of observing people throughout the years in our industry, in the creative industries, but then in all industries, I've found probably, I mean, not more people who aren't in the creative industries that are great creative thinkers, but like where creative thinking and, you know, that idea of limitlessness, you know, meaning say that people are, you know, the pathways that they might go down are limitless or the, you know, according to what they, you know, want to do or, like you were saying, the community is super important. And that's what I found, like, I mean, some of the communities or the community that we're involved in, you know, too. I mean, I feel exactly that. And it's not even, I mean, it's specific conversations often too. And some of that is, you know, probably to do with the fact that people are business owners and it's sort of, for me, a bit sort of chicken in the egg. It's that have you become an entrepreneur, business owner because you're a creative thinker or do you become a better creative thinker because you're a business owner and you are forced to, you know, think these other ways. And then you're around all these other people that are thinking perhaps in a similar way. And then that helps too.
Well, I think absolutely. I think a lot of people get into business for different reasons. You know, some of them get into business because they are creative. Some of them get into the business because they're innovative. Some people get into business because they have control issues, right? So, you know, a lot of business owners, I haven't met very many business owners that don't have some kind of like, I want to be in control issues.
No.
Right? Absolutely. So I think you're right. Like, I say to people all the time, and this is a controversial statement sometimes. Sometimes people are like, yes, that is so true. And other times they're like, oh, how dare you even suggest such a notion. One of the things that I say sometimes is like, business will teach you more about growth and life than children will.
Oh, yes, controversial statement for all parents. Yeah, but it's not really the
same. And I come at that from being a parent. Right. So I'm not coming at that from like, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
He's not a parent. He doesn't understand.
Yeah, exactly right. No, I totally understand. Kids will teach you things at levels that business will never teach you. Like if you want to learn how to be patient, look at your children. They will teach you patience real hard. They will reflect the weaknesses in you. I think that's the thing about children, right? Children will be a direct reflection of the shit that you need to grow in, the learnings that you need to have.
Mm.
Business will do that, but across every area of your life.
Mm.
They will do that. It'll do that across everything. It'll literally, the level of pressure, the level of stress, the level of growth, the level of patience, the level of, you know, peace, the level of calm, the level of fight, the level of resilience, the level of health, the level, everything needs to grow for you to grow in business. Everything.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. So at this point, actually, because we dive so quickly into just our conversation, I'm just going to rewind just a little bit here for some of the people who are listening who actually have no idea who you are and who are going, I'm starting to piece together all these like bits and pieces about who this person actually is. So just yeah. give them just
douchebag in
some guy who likes business and physical stuff. Andrew Komnenos.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Just yeah. like they're just simplifying everything. There you go. That's what I do. Yeah, but just explain to people in just go, this is what I do essentially, and then we'll continue. Rewind, then continue.
So my name's Andrew. I am a sales and performance coach.
And this is the start of the podcast.
Let's say this. I'm a sales strategist and performance coach. So my job is to help business owners to, you know, improve every facet of their life, mind, body, and profit.
Help because them with the reality their mastery. Help them with yeah, their mastery.
I don't say the word mastery personally because I actually don't believe in it. I don't believe in
it's on your website.
Right. Yeah, I know it's okay, cool. It's on my website. I just don't very often say the word mastery. It's not mastery to me is very akin to alignment. And people I think are very often chasing becoming a master, becoming or getting or wanting to be aligned, and they'll be happy when they're aligned or happy when they're a master. And what I, the only thing I believe in mastering is the ability to enjoy the journey, right? Mm. So there's a reason why my logo is a mountain, and my Project Remarkable is all about that performance element in business and about, you know, the progress towards alignment in every area of your life. Mm. And this ability to, because once you find alignment, once you find mastery, I don't care how good you are at anything, there's another level of mastery. Mm-hmm. There's always someone better. There's always some new level to go to. So if you are constantly tying your happiness and your fulfillment and your performance to the achievement of mastery, to the achievement of alignment, then you're going to be like, it's going to take, like, you're just never going to get there, because the second you get there, there's another level. I mean, how many sports players become number one and then they're still not happy? Right. Mm. They become number one and they've achieved it now. They've done the thing. And then, you know, they like, I mean, there's been countless cases of people falling into like deep depressions after they come out of the army because like they don't have the purpose anymore. They've got mastery in that one area. Right. And then there's mastery in sport. And then they come away from it. They put on copious amounts of weight. They eat crap. They have no purpose. They have no drive. I mean, because there's always another level. There's always something new. So if you're looking for that, that's hard. So I focus on, you know, as a performance coach, I call myself an adventure-based performance coach. So we work around this element of adventure. You know, you've been on one of the hikes. We do overnight hikes. We do things like that, and we take people out on adventures as part of the learnings. But then we run these normal performance programs that, drive people to really find progress in every area of their life so that they can feel that sense of, you know, fulfillment. Because when you have that in every area of your life, then you move into your business and you absolutely crush it with 100% capability to crush it, rather than this limited shell of a percentage that is based on, you know, a limited brain space due to the fact that, you know, you have so many other thoughts and so many other things in your life that are just feeling lost and listless, right? Mm. So that's what I do.
Thanks, Andrew. Thanks. And now we can continue the podcast. So now
I can't remember what we're talking about anymore.
It's been pretty interesting so far. And I'm sure if you listen to it again, you'll know. But anyway, but you, I like, actually the fact that you also describe yourself as a guide too. One, because, and I've said this to you before, because it's an obvious link for people who then, I guess, aren't aware of your, of that, you know, part of your life of like hiking and climbing too, like where, you know, mind sort of meets body, and then how that's actually sort of impacted on this very unique, in my viewpoint, is a very unique approach to the whole sort of sales thing. And I've always, as somebody who likes similar sort of things too, like I straight away was like, oh wow, that's really interesting. But the fact that you call yourself then a guide, I like that, because it's, you know, one, I love a good metaphor, you know, first thing. And two, I love the fact that it's probably actually even better for me since I actually came on your hike too, because I saw firsthand, because you're, you know, a sort of a firsthand real results like sort of guy. So me seeing that firsthand, that, you know, element of breaking down the body a bit through that physical activity to get to speaking about things in a way that you wouldn't otherwise talk about in that particular way. Seeing that firsthand was like, oh yeah. I mean, I've had that happen before, but just in the sport context, like, you know, you reach a certain point where you're stuffed or you're reaching some level, and then some extra adrenaline kicks in, and all of a sudden something changes. But I'd never had that in the context of, okay, this is sort of about your business. It's about yourself and it's physical. I think that's really cool. So just tell people a little bit, if you can, please, about the, because you've got three kind of those adventure-based activities now, right?
Yeah.
So there's three ones. Tell people just a little bit about those three. And I guess how you, at what point in your current journey with like how you're bringing all this together, that you came up with having those three, like, do they have very specific connection to each other, or were they just like three separate things?
Well, there's actually four.
So, okay.
And it's funny, I actually haven't called, like, I really got to get back to that. I have been sucked into the idea of calling, of, no, not sucked into the idea, but I've been saying coach a lot more lately. And the reality is, you're right, I am a guide, because like my clients are the hero of the story. Like I'm just helping them along their way.
Yeah,
right?
You're showing them the path.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, point is, so I like any other person, I run normal programs, you know, which are mainly on, you know, Zoom or in person and things like that.
Yeah.
However, I also attach that to adventure, because I think adventure has a lot to teach us, right? My whole life is built around hiking, climbing, and adventure. And I think adventure has so much to teach you about, you know, just so many different assets in business. So I have a half day hike, which was just the initial, I suppose you'd call it the top of the funnel, right? Which people can come and test out and find, you know, what their whether it's for them, I suppose, and can come and see whether it is a fit. But that's actually not where it started, right? That was just like, all right, let's create a half day to make it easy for people to access, really accessible for anyone. But where it actually started was this desire to take people on adventures. And one of them was a, you know, the starting one was a thing that I actually just ran in at the start of May called the Change Adventure. And the change of, oh my goodness, was that amazing. That's an overnight hike. And that was really, really the desire, is to get people overnight. And so we supply the gear, you know, they pay for the gear, but, you know, we go out and buy it for them so they don't have to go researching all the gear and what they have to get and what they don't need to get and what's good and what's bad. And, you know, so I sort that up. So anyway, and we go on this overnight hike, and the whole idea of the Change Adventure is it's an ordeal. It's an ordeal that, you know, they have to overcome fear. They have to do some things that they're not comfortable with. They have to be in terrain that is just odd to them. They're like, well, I'm never in this kind of terrain now. What do I do here? right? And yeah, it was just great. I mean, at the end of the Change Adventure, we're coming out the last section. We've just come out of the gorge, which is this, if you don't know what a gorge is, it's like a creek bed, you know, with running water and multiple waterfalls and, you know, rocks everywhere. And, you know, you can roll your ankles, you can hurt yourself, things can happen. But, you know, we've come out of the gorge and we're fine and everyone is dead because they've been on trail now for about 8 hours. And they're walking up this hill, and this last hill to get to campsite is just brutal. Like, it's just a brutal hill. And I mean, it's not particularly brutal if you're fit. And, you know, yeah, but most of the people coming on the adventure are not people that are like performance, you know, advanced in their performance. They're people that want to perform better. They're people that have been sitting in front of the computer for too long and are like, okay, I need to move, right? I need to get a different perspective here. I need to change my thinking. And so we're coming up this hill. And I mean, I remember this one thing, this amazing, amazing grit from this lady that came on the adventure. Her name's Jody. Absolute machine. Is, you know, there's this final hill and it's got like 12 like sections. So you go up this steep section, there's a tiny little flat, you know, like a ledge almost, then steep, and then a little ledge, and then steep, and it does that about 12 times. It's about 1.2, 1.3 kilometers of just steep hill. And I remember coming up this hill, and we get to about the sixth thing, and I'm at this point, I'm carrying Jody's bag and walking up this. So I've got my bag, I've got her bag, and they're about 17, 18 kilos a bag. And I get to the ledge, the seventh ledge, and I've been with Jody the whole time, and we're going in sets of two, right? So there's a few groups of two people, and one group will meet you, and then you will go. And then, you know, you'll get to the top and you'll be like, yep, go. And then they'll meet you, and then you will go. And that's how it works. And it gives them a chance to have a rest because they're not going to be able to go up to the top of the hill without stopping, right? So you do it in sets. So I turn around. I'm on this seventh ledge, and I turn around and I look down the hill, and there's Jody crawling up this hill, like literally crawling. And I'm like, are you okay? Do you need a hand? And she's like, no, I will get there myself, with just absolute grit and just pulling herself to the, you know, to get there. And it was a really beautiful moment to see. I mean, it was so hard for me to watch that because it's like this level of pain that someone's going through, but it's good pain. It's the pain of pushing themselves to a new level, of realizing that they can do hard things, that they can do things that they think is beyond them. So that was the Change Adventure. That's an overnight one. That was outrageous. And along the way, we talk about overcoming fear. We talk about ownership, overcoming fear, daily resilience, finding purpose, having peace. We talk about these elements of mental performance in business and how to change habits and all those sorts of things. But then the next one, which I'm running in August, which I'm super excited about, literally releasing it this week, is called The Warrior's Crucible, right? And that's 2 nights, 3 days. And that's going to cover a bit of everything, right? Yeah, right? The Warrior's Crucible. Yeah.
Powerful name.
Yeah, exactly right. You're coming along, Saul. So, yeah, it's in Saul's like, no.
No, I don't know about that. Especially since I know the name now.
Yeah, exactly right. So yeah, anyway, so that's 2 nights, 3 days, and that is that's getting released, and that one's going to be more about, you know, fully embracing, you know, an adventure. That'll be more about the adventure side of the resilience required. And, you know, we might be out there in the rain. We might be out there. It'll probably be cold because it's August, you know, like it's a crucible. And at the same time, though, it's this idea of understanding that even on a crucible, you can still really enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
You know, even in the hard times, you can still really have a good time because you're going to see some beautiful shit. Oh, we're going to do some amazing things. But will it be hard? Yeah, absolutely. Will you be in an uncomfortable situation that you haven't been in before? Hail to the yeah, right? But it'll be beautiful and it'll be amazing.
It's always, I mean, there's obviously a lot of wonderful, very simple, not physically enduring points in our lives where you remember them really specifically. But, you know, I have to say, like, a lot of the things that I really remember as, you know, significant, sometimes very small things, are often those really tough or just really odd kind of scenarios. Like, I had this time, and I'll probably always remember it my whole life because it was so sort of odd, but also, you know, physically pretty sort of like hard to in one respect, nothing like what we're talking about now. But I was on our property, and our property the previous few weeks had a bushfire come through it, and it was all completely sort of scarred. They had the back burnt, and we've got this sort of mountain slash big hill on the property, and I saw there was still some logs and things burning up on the property, and I didn't realize this until I looked out in the middle of the night, and it was like pouring rain, absolutely torrential pouring rain, and up on the hill I saw this, I didn't know what it was, there was this little orange sort of glow, and I was like, what is that? And so it was a fire. It was a log. It was still actually on fire, but it was pouring down rain. And I was like, and I was on my own, and I thought, I'm just gonna put my headlamp on and just walk up, you know, and just one, see what it is. And so I walked all the way up this hill slash mountain, not a big mountain, but walked all the way up in the pouring rain. But I was like, standing there, and there's this log on fire, still actually on fire, and there's all this rain hitting it, and all this steam kind of coming off. And then in front of me, this big hare, actually probably about 3 meters away, is just there looking at me. I'm probably thinking it's just looking at this like cyclops, this orb looking at it, because I had my headlamp on. and there's this hare, and there's this log on fire, and I was just standing there. I was like, this is just so beautiful. This sort of, you know, moment.
Of
strangeness, but, you know, just being out in the freezing cold rain. And I was like, man, this is just so special. And I couldn't even put it really into words, but at those kind of that interaction with the environment, but also having, you know, it kind of, and I'm saying it, I guess, too, because, you know, you probably would have seen, like you were talking about with Jody, the power of what a physical sort of activity linking with sort of endurance and mind over matter can do for you. You know, it's kind of, you would have seen that. I'm sure there probably would have been some pretty interesting conversations then that night, I bet.
Yeah.
I think
there were. But most of the conversations were, I'm dead and I want to go to bed.
Yeah, I was just about to say, yeah, there would have been, yeah, as soon as I said that, I was thinking, oh, they probably would have been pretty short. But
well, no, well, what actually happens is at the end of the night on the change adventure is when so we do coaching throughout the day. There's sessions that we run, like around those topics that I mentioned before, and then the final session. The big session is at night after you've been through the ordeal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's interesting. But I actually, it's funny you mentioned that, because a couple of weeks ago I went and did a hike, and I've been through so many, but I haven't done this very often. I'm going to do this every time I get the chance now. But have you ever had the experience of standing under a waterfall?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So I did that for the first time. I stood under a waterfall when I was probably 19. Mm. And I'd gone to Springbrook. I'm pretty sure I'd gone to, I think it was Twin Falls or something. Anyway, there's basically a Springbrook waterfall that you walk underneath, underneath the waterfall, right? And it's stunning. And I stood underneath this waterfall. I was like, wow, this is great. And you walk, basically you're walking behind the waterfall because it's falling over the top, right?
Yeah.
And it's on a path behind the waterfall. And you've probably actually been there. And it's nice. And I did that again. It was like a magical moment. I was like, wow, I've never been under a waterfall before. This is the first time. This is fantastic, right? But the other day, I was on this track and I got up to this waterfall and it took a bit of scrambling to get, you can go up and see this waterfall, but to get up to the waterfall, you got to go off track and do a bit of scrambling and, climb over some rocks and, hold your balance on slippery areas. And anyway, I get to this spot and I'd been hiking for 16 kilometers or something and I was stinky. And, I said to my friend that was with me at the time, because it was the first, I actually did it 2 weekends in a row, funny enough. But this first weekend, I said to my friend, I was like, I'm going to go up to that waterfall. And so we walked up there and I was like, all right, I'm going into that waterfall. And because I'd never stood in a waterfall, I'd stood underneath one behind it, right? Mm. But I took my shirt off and I'm like, this is going to be my shower, right? And I walked in and I literally stood under that waterfall and just let it fall all over me, yeah. Right? And it was it was a magical moment. And here's a good lesson, right? So I stood there and it was fantastic. And it was such a magical moment. And I was worried about, I was like, oh, don't slip over, don't slip over. Wow, waterfall, don't slip over, don't slip over. And then a minute later or a minute and a half later, I got out. And I went to I went to my friend, who is actually someone you should definitely get on your podcast because she's phenomenal. Look at me selling someone on your podcast. What a guy. Anyway.
Sales and performance.
I then get out of this waterfall and we walk on. And I said to her, I said to Diane, I went, I'm not sure I was as present as I wanted to be in that moment, that purely magical moment. I wasn't as present. And I mean, how often does that happen in our life, right? Where we're just not as present as we think about it later. We're like, man, I want to experience that again. I could have done that for longer. I could have spent another minute there. The next weekend I went back and I went back to this waterfall and I took my shirt off and I stood under this bloody waterfall again, same waterfall. And I just I found a real stable position and I just let it fall all over me. Mm. Except this time I swear it was about 7 degrees colder. And it was still cold the first time, but it was so cold. I got brain freeze, Saul. I got actual brain freeze under this waterfall, but I was present, totally present in this moment. And I stood there under this waterfall for minutes, plural, just being totally present with the magic. And so when I left that waterfall this time, I didn't feel that. I felt like that was an experience and I'll go do that experience again and again and again. But that was an experience that I've now had rather than just, that's an experience that I've experienced rather than just had.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. It's exactly what I ended up I'm funny you should say about having a shower, because my initial impetus kind of before that was, I was like, oh, it's raining. And it wasn't too cold. Then it was sort of cold because it was, it's just generally cold under the rain anyway, but it wasn't freezing. I was I was going to have a shower in the rain anyway. And I was just going to go outside and go, and just have a quick shower. So I didn't have to pop in the shower. The pressure, being off grid wasn't great. So I was like, I'm going to be better. So, but then I was like, what's
must
that?
Must have been raining pretty hard.
It was raining quite hard, and so hard that it was actually, I probably would have had this experience when you got your headlamp on and the rain, and it was so hard. I could only see a certain amount in front of me, even though the lamp was pretty powerful.
It's distorting the beam.
It was just, and I could sort of see the stuff, but then I got under these trees where the fire was, and there was that big bunny. But then when I was there, I was like, there was like this weird shared experience, bunny, me, log on fire. It had no specific meaning except for the fact that it was amazing that there was these three incongruous things. There was a log that was still on fire, even though it was pouring down rain, torrential, a bunny that was there looking at me only a few meters away that just thought I was a big orb and was stunned by me, didn't realize I was a person. And we're there sharing this moment. And then I was on the top of the mountain and I looked around, because it always surprises me how high up then I end up being. And I had this amazing, this view of the landscape where there was this mist and rain. I was like, oh man, this is just, you know, is
phenomenal.
Yeah. Just a moment that I guess in terms of making me think differently, like I can't necessarily quantify exactly what that meant, but it was like, it was just a little bit of a deeper understanding about, you know, that I was wanted to do that. Like I've done things before, you know, sort of like similar, but I hadn't done it for ages. And it just sort of understanding where I was, but just taking the time to notice things like the detail.
Total presence in the moment that you're in.
Yeah, it was just the detail of specifically, and I don't know why I remember this specifically, I think because it was just so sort of odd, is that I was specifically looking at how the rain was hitting this log that had already been, it was a whole tree, it was quite a big gum tree that had fallen over in the fire, eaten out the base of it, and it fell over. And then I was like, three quarters of the tree was already ash, had already been eaten away. But then I was just looking at how the torrential rain was having almost no effect on the rest of the log. It was so hot still. It was so hot inside. It was just steam, or just like steam that was straight away. But I was just kind of amazed at how quickly then the steam was dissipating.
Well, I think people don't realize, actually, this is actually one of the teachings that I have, right? Which is this idea of simplicity in noticing the good things around you. People spend all this time focused on just getting through the day, you know, do. And I think we've talked about this, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the reason I bring this up, is because this is exactly what you were doing in this moment. And this is why it was such a beautiful, massive moment to you. I mean, if you think about how simple that moment really was, it's like you walked up to a log in the rain you couldn't get much more simple than that. You know what I mean? It was a log that was on fire. It was like, oh, okay, cool. I'm going to go check this out. Right. And it was such a simple experience, but everything just combined, and because it was raining, because you were cold, because you were this, that, and the other, you know, it was like, it's like you've put all this effort to get somewhere and you're like, oh my God, look at this experience. Like this thing, this is crazy. And the reality is it's such a simple experience. And if that log, you know, had been a cat peeing on the floor, it wouldn't have felt so great. Right. So here's the thing. My point is this, is that I think people spend their time focusing on all the challenges that have happened in their day. And there are so many good little things that you can be present with. So if you got home and your cat had peed on the floor or your dog had peed on the floor, your instant response is, oh, my dog has been on the floor. And then you're so totally insanely present in that moment thinking, why did you get to pee on the floor? Why did my dog have to pee on the floor? Right. And I mean, I feel like my face was better than my voice then. So like, and you're so present in that moment and you're cleaning it up and you're frustrated and you're this, that, and the other. And those things happen over and over again. But I often ask people, it's like, when was the last time you were just totally present in a moment that you were having where something good was happening, whether it's drinking your coffee in the morning or seeing the log that's on fire with the hair, you know, whatever it is. I mean, I had an experience yesterday where I went for a stroll, got a coffee from, you know, the cafe and went and sat on a rock and looked at the river. And it was such a peaceful, beautiful moment in my life, and there was nothing about it. I had a coffee and the sun was shining and it was cold, and the sun and the coffee were warming me up, and there was very, very little sound. I mean, just standard sounds of the city, but you know, there didn't seem to be anyone around that space at the time. And it was just such a simple moment, but I was totally present and totally appreciative of this beautiful moment and tasting the flavors of the coffee and really present. And that ability to be present with something so simple gives you immense resilience for the rest of the day. You know, we give, but if you are only present with the things that are bad, then you won't have that resilience. And so what I hear from when you tell that story is this idea of the experience that you've held onto that you can go back to and get the feeling of anytime you like. You can feel the energy in your body. You can feel the mindset. You can feel the happiness. You can I see you talk about it. And all I see is someone who can go back to that moment because it's a moment of pure pleasure that you were totally present with. And what happens, and so it's so important to understand that when you are present with moments of pleasure, they can impact your day and your life really positively. Most people are not present with moments of pleasure. They are only present with moments of pain.
Mm. I think I often reflect to, or I have, even with this podcast, right? Because I started, in the early days, like a few years ago when I started the podcast, I started it because, like, initially for very simple reasons, it was like, oh, it'd be nice to have a podcast. And then what it very, very, very quickly became was me realizing I had this, I can't remember when this happened, but it was like first time, you know, many, many episodes ago when I was like, I feel so energized for the rest of the day after podcasts. And I think that's very, like, you hearing you say that is like a little bit of an extra realization that it's because I always find, because like the nature of doing a podcast or having a conversation is it always ends up being a much more, like, it's a long form chat, first of all, too, but you're specifically, like, you're really, I find I'm always, because I actually, it's always like super interesting to me.
You're intentional.
Yeah. It's very, very intentional and thinking about very, very specific things. And so my mind ends up being like absolutely, like, well, probably a bit of overkill to say supercharged, but it's not too far from that. Like at the end of every podcast, I'm always like, you know, thinking a million things. It's been very, very energizing. And I've always thought, oh, that's interesting. That's an interesting, like, thing that happens. And it links into, you know, possibly, you know, other, those memories that become very, very important. And a lot of conversations that I've, you know, had on the podcast, in fact, almost every single one, like without exception, really, I actually remember a lot about each one. And I've thought that's interesting too, because you don't always remember lots of other conversations necessarily. Obviously, it has something to do with the time, the place, who it is, why you're doing it in the first place.
Presence.
The presence, but then the detail. And this is always I know this is a bit of a jump, but then when it comes to, say, when I'm thinking about things like design and things for people too, I'm a big believer in the fact that the really, really important aspects of things like that are in the detail of it, are in the small details of, and then even like you spoke to me about your, you know, new brand logo too, like reasons behind, like meaning, even if that meaning isn't apparent to everybody else at first glance, which it wouldn't be, but that meaning, even that level of detail in things is very important because it creates these sort of memories, which then
an attachment.
Yeah. A emotional attachment and a range of other things. But what are some of, like, on a personal level, Andrew, for you, like, say when you've been doing, and this can be just in life or climbing and hiking, what's been like some of the most challenging things or challenging thing that you've like ever had to do? Like that's been on this kind of like series of things we're talking about where physical meets mental and
emotional? What's been something that's really like pushed you to your limits? Because you seem like a reasonably high performer, but what's pushed you to your limits?
Oh, there was a look at me yawning. There's a couple of experiences that come to mind. I think something that really, I remember one day was really interesting was I went up Mount Barney with my best mate, and we went to the, and what we said is we're going to go up Mount Barney, and we're going to go up the hardest route of Mount Barney, which is called Logan's Ridge. And we're going to get to East Peak, and then we're going to go down into the saddle, and then go up to West Peak, and then go back down. Couple of little caveats. It was the height of summer. So it was hot as anything. We were sweating crazy amounts. And it was also the, sorry, I'm getting distracted by all the noise in the background. You guys probably can't hear it, but I can hear all this noise.
No, can't hear it.
It was the height of summer. We were sweating profusely, and I ended up I had 4 liters of water, and we still ran out of water, and we had to get more water from the creek at the top, which is fine because it's at the top of a mountain. And it's running over moss constantly. So, but you still sort of want your water filter with you. And it was the one time that I had forgotten my water filter, the only time I've ever forgotten my water filter. But, you know, anyway. But we get there and we get up to the top, and we ended up off track on the hardest route, made it probably a little bit more dangerous than it needed to be. And it's already gnarly. And then we got to the top, and we went down into the saddle, and we were going up to West Peak. My mate had hurt his ankle, but he was just not willing to give up. And we went and did West Peak, but we didn't do it quite the right way because there's no real pathway that we could see or figure out. And so we ended up making it harder than that needed to be. And then coming down, we ended up finding the way down, which is, oh, okay, cool. This would have been much easier. Anyway, I remember getting to the bottom of Mount Barney at the end of that day, and we were both shattered. We were both like, oh, that was a push, right? That last few kilometers, we even tried to cut some off, right? And this is a testament to, you know, this next bit here is a moment. So this is a lesson. This is a adventure lesson. So anyway, we're like, oh, we could probably cut a kilometer off the bottom because we were both so tired. We're like, we just want to be back at the car. We had finish line fever, and we're like, we could probably cut a kilometer off here if we take the old path, this old little path that leads to Southeast Ridge route, and instead of just going the normal way, you know, but no one ever takes this way anymore. Anyway.
I feel like I know where this is going. This is going, but
yeah. We should have just walked the extra, it was 4 kilometers back to the car. We should have just walked the extra, you know, instead of cutting it to 3, we should have walked the 4, right? Because as soon as we got on that little next bit, it was like we were so shattered, and we were like trying to go up this hill and down, and we were like, this is, oh, it just made it worse. And so it's a really, it's an ode to remembering that, the easy life very often, the easy track very often leads to the hard life, you know? So we should have just taken the hard way, or we thought was the hard way at the time. So there's that one. I reckon one of the best lessons I ever had was when I did my very first long multi-day, right? If you want my favorites, you know, there's the Western Arthurs, which is just outrageous. That was an outrageous. But I think one of my best lessons was my very first long multi-day, because the first time you do a long multi-day, you realize after 3 days on trail, what if it rains the whole time?
Mm.
and it's miserable.
Mm.
What if it and you can't get back? You have to finish.
You've got to keep going,
right? Because you got three days back or 3 days forward. Which one do you want to take? Well, may as well see some shit I haven't seen before, right? I mean, it wasn't raining. To be fair, we were very lucky. The point was is that I'd never been on trail for that long before, and I'd never been, and it was a beautiful experience. But at the same time, you know, we got to day five, and we were like, and my partner and I were just like, oh, I can't just like, I want to be back at the car. I want to, you know, I just want to be like, be off trail. I want to be, you know, be finished. I want to do this, but you got to keep going. You don't have the choice. And so it forces you to be like, well, if I'm going to be on trail, then I have to have that resilience. I have to have that, that purpose. And I have to like enjoy the journey. Like, cause I'm not going to get to come back here, or I may get to come back here someday, but it's not something I can just walk back and just experience it again later. So you have to force yourself to be present.
Mm.
Yeah. So, and then, perspective, I think was a really good lesson. There's two final lessons I have. So perspective was one, and perspective was, on the Western Arthurs. Funny enough, we went into the Western Arthurs and we're walking in, and the first 10 kilometers of the Western Arthurs, if you're hiking into the Western Arthurs, is just muddy trail. And it is like, we're talking, it can be knee deep mud, right? And so it's, and I'm not on great trail either. Like you're in these like little grooves and it's hard to walk in and it's a bit rough, and you've got 8 to 10 days of food in your backpack because the Western Arthurs take 7 days. And you, so it takes seven, but you take 10 days worth because the weather is so inclement that you can be stuck up there for days at a time. So you just, you over prepare dramatically. It depends how determined you are to finish. I think a lot of people don't over prepare and they don't get to finish, but you know, we were determined we were going to finish this thing. We got very lucky again with the weather, which was very nice. But anyway, so we're walking into the Western Arthurs and it didn't matter. We could walk through anything. Oh my God, look at this mountain. Oh, rolling hills. Oh, it's phenomenal. Love it. Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, look at this. It's so beautiful. 8 days later, we're coming back out on the exact same track facing the other direction, right? Walking back out. And you couldn't have paid me to stare at those mountains, right? It was a very different perspective. It was like, and I said it to Emily at the time. I'm like, isn't it funny how quickly that 10 kilometers went and how beautiful we thought everything was and how phenomenal it all was and then on day eight, walking back out, we were like,
different it was.
Oh, just get me to the damn car. We had finish line fever massively, sore legs, sore feet, sore knees. My knees were so sore because I hadn't managed walking down, doing some stuff. Anyway, point is the perspective was so different. And it's so funny how the exact same situation can be changed just by the way you perceive it.
Yeah,
nothing
absolutely.
Nothing was different, Saul. The terrain hadn't changed. In fact, the terrain was probably slightly better because it was less wet and less muddy. So it was probably actually slightly better. But we were in worse condition. And so we were perceiving it to be hard and tough and terrible because we were focused on all the crap that was, you know, all the hard things rather than the beautiful terrain around us. And so I kept trying to shift my mindset. I remember trying to shift my mindset back to, you know, oh, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. And that did help. It helped a hell of a lot. But then I'd swing back. I mean, it was a really good lesson of like, dude, change your perspective.
Yeah, perception is everything, isn't it? Yeah. It's remarkable, actually. I've had a few points, and I think it's just being out in the country and things being so sort of quiet, and there's not all these other things to kind of look at. So like on our property too, I had another kind of actually probably even more remarkable kind of experience and it was actually once again thanks to my headlamp. It was actually thanks to the headlamp I woke up. And I was leaving and I was there on my own again. And
I was leaving really early, and I decided that I was going to leave really early in the morning in order to get back to Brisbane, because it's like ends up being 5 hours or so. So I was like, oh, I'll get back by 9 a.m. So I got up at like 3 a.m. I was like, okay, I'm going to do the hardcore. And I had a like, okay, sleep, got up at 3 a.m. And it was, of course, pitch black. But I put on my headlamp and it was all misty. It was all misty and you just like, you just see mist. But then I put on my headlamp and it was like a veil had been lifted from like the universe, literally, because I saw the mist was like currents of water. It was going and it was swirling around, but it was, I was like, oh man, this is wild. It was like absolutely mind blowing. And I'm not exaggerating, because I'd seen like mist before in sort of headlamps and with the torch and stuff, but this was, it was like really different. It was like currents of water and it was like swirling around. And I was meant to leave, you know, straight away. I had all my stuff already in the car and I was literally just going to get, and I sat there probably for about 15 minutes with my headlamp, just looking at like all the stuff and me like moving my hand around so that it would change.
Well, if you go to places like the Western Arthurs, you very often get the clouds settling down over you and it turns into complete whiteout conditions. But as you see the clouds lift or as they're settling down, you can actually see the movement of the clouds. Mm. It's stunning. Yeah, I totally know what you're talking about. It's absolutely outrageous. And I think the last thing that I was going to say in terms of I actually can't remember what it was now. I had a fourth little experience that was a limit shifter. Yeah, I can't remember it.
That's all right. You can share it with me another time.
But exactly.
But is so just on like as we're I guess nearing on the other tail end of our podcast, can you I guess just reverting back to, you know, some of like the actual sort of skills and assistance you actually provide to people in the sales things that you share with people to help them with actual sort of sales, the sales part in their business. Like there's obviously a very, very important part of what you talk about to people about this, you know, interconnection between their, you know, because you they have your tagline mind body profit, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in that, but with the I was just interested when you're talking about sales and you're talking about profit, what are like outside of profit, monetary profit, when you're helping people with, you know, sales to earn more profit, etc., all those really obvious things. Does the profit part of what you have in your tagline also represent other things when you had that in mind? And if so, was that just monetary profit, or is it also other types of profit?
I mean, I think profit is whatever, like you profit in all areas of your life.
Mm.
But I mean, when people hear profit, of course, they're going to think mind, body. I get my mind right, I get my body right, and I get to profit more in my business. Absolutely, you do get to profit more in your business. But I mean, you know, profit is obviously much larger than that. It can be profiting in your health, profiting in your relationship, profiting in your spirit, profiting in your fun, profit in your growth, profit in your all those areas of your life. But yeah, I think it really does relate to the money side of things, but it's less about sales, right? So, I mean, actually my business is less about sales. I mean, I, you know, part of what I do with people very often is this, you know, if they join the program, they get access to all of the sales content that I've ever created in my last business, which is hundreds of hours of content and thousands of dollars worth of, you know, content that they could go watch. Now, the people that go watch it, I have mass kudos to. I'm like, well done, you legends, because that means that they are so committed. But you have to be really committed, because it's not exactly the most, what do you call it, edited content that makes you go, oh, wow, this is such a beautiful, so beautiful to watch. No, that's probably going to be painful. But it'll get you the results.
Endurance.
But the, Yeah, absolutely, endurance. But the idea is to, I always say this, your mind is the catalyst to anything you want to change. Your body gives you the vitality and energy, and those two things combined will allow you to focus in on your core purpose, your mission, your business, and then get you to profit. Profit comes as a catalyst, or not catalyst, as a result of your ability to grow your own self.
Also, do you think that there is, oh, well, actually, probably I'll just rephrase the question because I know there is a connection, but what do you see, like, the connection between an idea like abundance and profit? I mean, not just in, you know, like the idea of having not just enough to get by, but, you know, to, and once again, we're not just talking about, you know, the monetary side of things, but in like having things that you need, you require, and that you want to have, and having plenty of that. What's your general thoughts on that as a idea, the idea of abundance in sync with what we're already talking about, I guess?
I think for the majority of people, I have probably been someone who struggled with this more than anybody. Struggled with this myself. You already have it. Stop looking for it. You already got it. I mean, you can have more abundance, and you can want more. There's nothing wrong with wanting more, but it's this idea of learning that you already are abundant. This idea of learning that, you know, look around you, Saul. Do you have a TV? Do you have a house? Do you have, you know, a car? Do you have things? How many things do you have in your house that you haven't even bloody used in 6 months? How many things do you have in your, how many people do you have in your life that you could contact that you haven't contacted in forever because you don't have time? You don't have physical time. You don't have enough time to use all those items, enough time to contact all those people every day. You don't have, if you were to try and lift everything that you have in your life, freaking Superman couldn't lift it. Right. Actually, that's probably a lie. He probably could. But my point is that
he definitely could.
Yeah, exactly. But like if you think about the amount of time that you have, right? You have, you know, that's probably the only thing that is not in super abundance, right? Here's the thing. And when I say it's not in super abundance, it's because you don't know how much you have. You could have an absolute abundance of time or none. You don't actually know. You have an abundance. There is plenty of time in every day to get everything done that you want to get done. Absolutely. And the amount, the way you use it and prioritize it. So there is an abundance of time. There's plenty of time. How much of that you have depends on how you use it or how you prioritize it. But the reality is I think, for people to have abundance, they first need to see that they already have abundance.
I think that's the thing.
People live in a life of scarcity. Oh, I'm so scarce. I've got nothing. I've got nothing. I've got no money. Well, actually, you don't have no money. You have no money currently in your bank account, and you have raised your living standards to a point where they overtake your current earning capacity. But if you think about the amount of money you earn in comparison to, say, anyone else on the planet, the reality is you're in the top 10% at least. So, you know, you do have an abundance of these things. And as I said, this is the majority of people. I'm not talking about everyone in the world. I'm saying the majority of us. Obviously, there are some people that are suffering, and that is terrible, and they deserve to be helped. And, you know, they don't have an abundance, and they are quite scarce, and it's to help and helping those people. But the reality is, for the majority of us, and if you're listening to this podcast, the likelihood is you have a iPhone or a Samsung or some phone that's allowing you to listen to it, or you're in the car driving to work and you've got enough of a good enough car to have speakers and this, that, and the other. So the point is that you're probably pretty abundant. And while you don't see that you have that abundance, you don't see all those things around you, you know, then you'll never be able to get more. And I think there's a really, really easy way to solve that problem, because I like to give people actionable steps. And people talk about this idea of practicing, you know, about gratitude, and they're like, gratitude, right? Here's the reality. anything that you are thankful for, anything that you are that you love in your life, anything that you are excited about in your life, it's all gratitude, right? All of it's gratitude. You can think about it any which way you want to think about it. But stop trying to make it some existential, crazy, deep freaking thing. Like, all it needs to be is, have you ever walked past a tree and gone, damn, that's a good looking tree? Guess what?
I have, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, of course you bloody have. We all have. We're like, damn, that's a cool tree, right? It's like, that's gratitude, right? And so it's starting to practice simple, like, start by, you know, every day just pick a few things, you know. And if you don't pick a few, if you can't think of anything, look around your house and start listing items in your house that you just like. I love this mug. My TV is great. I love my computer. I love my personal locator beacon. I love these things. I mean, you start listing those things off, you get to 10 or 20 of those items in your house that you like, you start to feel pretty damn good about your day and your life. You're like, wow, I've got some shit that I like in my life, right? It doesn't have to be some big, crazy thing. And I'll make it even clearer for people. Now, if you want to take it to the next level, pick something simple like this mug, right? This mug says, the mountains are calling, I must go. Now, I love this mug. Why do I love this mug? Well, I love this mug because it was given to me by my partner and it shows me that she knows me, right? And then how does that make me feel? Well, that makes me feel loved and connected and that I'm very lucky to have this mug. Now, if you can get through five items of doing what you love, why you love it, and how it makes you feel, and you do it with genuine presence and attention, if you can get through five items and not have a big grin on your face, I'd be very surprised.
Yeah, yeah. I feel that all that, it's, once again, I feel like a lot of that has to do with perception too, because like being grateful for something, I could think of like a range of things right now probably that being grateful for something leads to the perception of it being abundant. I'm like straight away when in another, I'm like we were talking about before, you're looking at the mountains this way, you look at exactly the same thing another way, and all of a sudden it changes. Like you look at something and you go, wow, I've got, that's not even physical things. In fact, it's most of the time, it's not even that, but I'm like, oh, I'm glad I've got this and this is sorted. I'm glad I've got a nice family. I'm glad I've got like a loving family. I'm glad we have fun.
But what I'm saying is don't even make it that complicated. So the thing is like for someone like yourself, Saul, or someone like myself,
that sounds right, pretty simple to me.
Yeah, exactly. It does. That's my point. But a lot of people really struggle with things like gratitude. They just don't feel grateful. They say it. They're like, I don't feel grateful for things. I like them. I'm like, well, then you feel grateful because it's the same thing, right? Yeah. It's like that's the reality. Is
that I get it. I understand what you're saying.
If you like something, if you're excited about something, if you love someone,
yeah,
right?
That can be
grateful. So literally, you know, they're like, I said to people, what's your favorite cafe? They're like, oh, I like the cafe down the road. I'm like, great, right? And would you be upset if it was gone? Well, not really, but yeah, I like it. I want to go there. Great. So you're grateful for it. So you're thankful that it's there. Oh, yeah, probably. I'm like, cool. Why are you thankful for that? Well, it makes really nice coffee. And how does that make you feel? I don't know. Probably pretty lucky. And I'm like, and then they have a smile on their face. I'm like, don't. Keep it simple.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And right. And as you get better, as you get into the practice of doing, you know, a few items every day or things every day, guess what?
Simple steps, I guess. Hey. Yeah. It's the because what you saying that then like shows me straight away is that it's a series of little incremental steps that can take somebody to the place that, you know, they have the realization, because not everyone can, you know, jump. In fact, probably most people, I would assert most people can't just jump to, you know, a realization. They've got to go through a series of steps. And then one day they're like, oh, yeah, actually I am. That is really cool. Like that's
one. Sorry, I was going to say one habit, one at a time. And 6 months later, your life will be completely different.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And thank you to you, as I mentioned the other day, you gave me that little simple
tip, you're like, hey, Saul, just do like 20 minutes of walking a day. And I was like, okay, Andrew, sure, I'll do that. And then I actually took that, I talked to my wife about it, and then we just did a little thing where I can do it incrementally every day. And it was really simple, and it was just incremental, and it worked. But I mean, it's, yeah, I think you're exactly right on a very high level that people do certainly overthink a lot of things. Gratitude is one of them, but like people do overthink and overcomplicate a lot of things. And the best thing initially to do is you know, action, the right sort of action, but you know, just incrementally step it in. So Andrew, now listen up. Okay. Listening? Now I want you.
I'm not.
Andrew, don't be naughty. Do you want to share with everyone? No, actually, I won't say do you because you'll say no. Andrew, share with everyone some sort of quote. We always do this on this podcast, like some sort of quote that you like and that you're going to improvise on, like you said earlier. So what is it, Andrew? What do you want to share with everyone as a parting thought that you feel is really wonderful?
Well, let's keep it to the same topic as the podcast, as the majority of the podcast.
Yeah.
The quality of your life will be defined by the things that you are present with. Simple.
Very good. I like it. And for people who don't, we'll have links in the podcast too. But for people who are listening to this and go, wow, that was really interesting, and I want to find out more, where do they go online, Andrew? How do they find out more about?
I mean, I feel like we don't need to ask these questions anymore, to be honest. Like Facebook, LinkedIn, you know, like just the places, the normal places. But you know, www.projectremarkable.com.au. Right, go to those places. Yeah. You know, like,
but the fact is that I did ask you, so thank you.
I know, that's why.
But thanks for answering. I was so postmodern, Andrew.
But that's the thing, right? It's like I have a website, I have Facebook, I have LinkedIn, I have, you know, you can find me pretty much anywhere. But I think if you are listening to this podcast and you want to know where to go, I'm sure Saul's going to have a bunch of links somewhere, so click those.
Yeah, I will. I will have some links. That's very true. And I usually don't necessarily on the podcast, often because I don't always necessarily know the people personally until I actually have them on the podcast. Mm. But and the fact is that I actually went on Andrew's adventure, and it was really fantastic. It was a really unique, fun sort of experience. And I'll say fun in the loose sense, in that I was particularly unfit that day, so it wasn't particularly fun at the time. But as we were going through it, I was really fantastic. So really unique, and kudos to you, Andrew. I think it's very, very cool in a really genuine sort of way. I think it's really great. And I know a lot of people feel the same way. You're a good dude, doing some cool stuff.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
No, very much from the heart. It's very very interesting. And so with that in mind, that's actually it for today, everybody. Thanks so much for listening in yet again to the podcast, and we'll see you again soon. Say goodbye to everyone, Andrew.
See you guys.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Grow Your Business. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time here at the Grow Your Business Podcast.